I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. To become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, tonight's show will be jam-packed with information as usual. I should point out that the listening audience will need a paper and pencil because I'm going to be giving lots of places where you can go to research certain topics, especially some of the bombshells that I dropped on the last program of ET Yoga 2 weeks ago. And the rest of the program will be focusing on the ascension process. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of Japa Yoga, which will be led by Sri Swami Sachidananda. And if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda doing a little bit of Japa Yoga, one of the six branches of yoga that he taught in his Integral Yoga Institutes. That was a particular clip from back in the 1970s. Sri Swami Satchidananda was one of my spiritual teachers. And feel free to use that meditation, short, although in nature, but also very powerful. I'd like to give my usual disclaimer at this time that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And for new listeners to ET Yoga, you should also know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical and big pharma as much as humanly possible. And that's not to take anything away from the wonderful work that the medical field does in terms of dealing with trauma, but in terms of the day-to-day care and health, definitely not recommended. I'd like to also give my special hello to lots of new listeners that are coming from Florida, especially up in the DeLand area and the Ormond Beach area. Appreciate hearing from new listeners. And you can always contact me via email at paperfungo, that's P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And I certainly appreciate hearing from the ET Yoga listening audience with respect to program content, things that you'd like to hear me talk about on this program, as well as nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes with information regarding concepts, ideas, techniques that you hear on this program. And I might also put a small plug in for my website at etyoga.com. And at that website, on the main page, is a button that says Radio Archives. So if you'd like to take your time and listen to the ET Yoga program at your leisure, you can always go there, hit that one button, and it takes you to the most recent programs in the archives, and they're all tagged by subject matter. And it's a very useful tool, and there's no charge, no strings attached. And also at the etyoga.com website, if you go to the products button and hit that, you'll find that there's a free download at the very top of that page called The Root Cause of Disease, which I find a lot of people do write to me and say they find that very useful because it's a 9 concepts that really are necessary in order to understand the root cause of disease. And now in preparing for tonight's program, I wanted to make a point of being highly positive and putting a focus on the ascension process, because I think it's one of the main things that we can do right now is to put our attention in positive areas as opposed to the fear porn that's out there all around this coronavirus and a number of other topics. However, it's still useful to know what's going on, and thus on the last ET Yoga program, I covered some rather large topics and dropped some information bombshells on the ET Yoga audience. And so I wanted to give you an opportunity to do some research on your own. One of those bombshells I talked about was that the Anunnaki had created all the religions and went into some detail. So if you want to go into the archives and listen to last week's program, you can hear some detail about that. But I'd also like to point you in the following direction. There is audio video at Rents.com. That's R-E-N-S-E.com. That's Jeff Rents. And he's got an interview there. It's Jeff and Craig Wynn. That's W-I-N. And the title of it is The Amazing, Incredible Dead Sea Scrolls. And those were discovered back in the 1950s. Much of that information has been suppressed from the public. In particular, the Jordanian government and the Roman Catholic Church have had custody of these. And these were actually the oldest texts ever found. They're from about between 710 and 1450 B.C. And they're devastating to any religion that's practiced today. And even goes into the fact that the Christian Testament isn't even remotely reliable with over 300,000 alterations. Highly recommend you listen to that program. Also, on the last program, I gave a view of world history where the Nazis did not lose World War II. And by the way, I've heard about four or five different radio shows this week that concur with that conclusion. And again, at Rents.com, you can listen to some fascinating interviews by William Tompkins. He's a former Navy admiral, passed away recent, but amazing interviews, and also concurs with my conclusions. And you might also want to check out Operation Paperclip, which was a program that the cover story was that we were bringing over scientists after World War II, but in reality, this was actually the start of the CIA, about 1,500 top-ranking Germans were brought over to start that operation, and also Operation High Jump, which is the name given to Admiral Byrd's endeavor to go down and take care of the Germans down in the Antarctic at what was called New Berlin, where they took a lot of their UFO technology. And as far as I'm aware, I'm sure it's a big secret, and very few people would know about the secret treaty or negotiations that took place with the group that was down in New Berlin after they blew away the Navy vessels and planes that were sent down there with technology that was the most advanced on the planet that had by then been weaponized with laser weapons, and also that multiple of these craft hovered over the White House, and some sort of negotiations were made, which definitely kicked off the U.S. then involvement in the secret space programs, and that was back in around 1947. And I might also point out, if you're interested in some of the genealogy of presidents, you can find on the Internet, there's quite a lot there about that all the American presidents all go back to King Edward III and Charlemagne. Kind of an amazing fact that they're all the bloodlines lead in that, those directions. And also that if you want to find out even more about Donald Trump's backgrounds, Alfred Weber actually has done some work there. And if you go to YouTube and look under Alfred Weber, that's W-E-B-R-E, Alfred Weber, and the title of that would be Exploring the Prophetic Identity of Donald John Trump. And also, there's another interesting one. It's called Revealing Trump's Illuminati Bloodline, by Jim Duke. And I think you'll find those very fascinating. You may also find very fascinating the find over in Romania, in Buceg, Romania. That's B-U-C-E-G-I, because underneath the rock sphinx there in the Buceg, and by the way, I've been there. I've taken a cable car to that site, but you're not allowed to go into the place where they found the ET base that looks like it was set up for giants. But there are about six books about that that have been published already. This find, I believe, was in 2003. And I read three of those books, one called Transylvania Sunrise, another called Transylvania Moonrise, and the third, The Sacred Parchment. And there's at least three other books now out on that subject, which details tunnels that go from that site to the Giza Plateau and also to Iraq and to Tibet, and also underground tunnels that go to the inner Earth. And as well, there's a holographic history of the Earth that goes back 50,000 years, which in particular the Catholic Church freaked out about, and a lot of pressure was placed on Romania to keep this all secret. And eventually information has been sort of leaked out slowly, but clearly this is not in the public domain. And as well, according to Bashar, the under the Sphinx at the Giza Plateau, another history of the Earth going back 50,000 years was also discovered, and this has been also kept secret, and that's been for about, I'd say, 7 years now. So I don't know where you'd find really any information about that. And also, I talked a little bit about what's called the Soul Trap, and I would highly recommend that you go to YouTube and look up Star Trek Voyager, and the name of the particular episode, and it's only about a 5-minute clip on YouTube. It's called Janeway versus the Archons, and it's a real, really good depiction of this concept. You can also find more information about this topic from Wes Penry Papers. That's P-E-N-R-E. Wes Penry Papers. Simon Parks has mentioned this topic a few times, but I'm not certain that his programs are archived by subject. And as well, Barbara Marciniak, who channels the Pleiadian information, has also talked about this concept, and Andromedan contactee Alex Collier. That's C-O-L-L-I-E-R. And Alex has got some lots of videos out there you can find on YouTube, as well as Barbara Marciniak, and I would highly recommend both of those sources. So I guess that would give our listening audience interested in going into some detail on those topics. There's some interesting places that that you can go. I might also add that when we start when we're talking about the Dead Sea Scrolls, I happen to have the original Lord's Prayer that was discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and an English translation that was done actually from the Pleiadians, in particular, Semjaze. Semjaze was the first Pleiadian that had contact with Billy Meyer. And this material actually comes from a book called The UFO from the Pleiades, which has been out of print for a long time. But it was one of the first books that I was attracted to, I don't know, I guess sometime back in the 70s, and there's information in that book that, in my opinion, only some advanced people would know about. But I'd like to share with you this original Lord's Prayer. And it goes like this: My Spirit Almighty, my spirit who is all-knowing, almighty, and all-loving in me, your presence be sanctified. Your presence confirms to me your controlling power over all matters concerning myself. May your wisdom become conscious to me. May your power be extended in the consciousness of my thoughts in order to enable me to apply all truths, wisdom, and love, peace and freedom given to and acquired by me and all mankind. May your power be extended in me on earth as well as in heaven. May your power become effective in me in all material as well as spiritual aspect. Please furnish me with all that I need for living each day. Please give me all I need for my material as well as my spiritual life and development, for you are almighty. So that I acknowledge my errors, so that I may recognize my faults and eliminate them, since they hinder me on my way of evolution. Please do not lead me into temptation, but to right decision. Please do not let me make error by material and wrong thinking, or become dependent on dogma and will to believe. For you are in me as power and wisdom for eternity. May I become conscious of your almighty forces inside me all the time. And that is a translation comes from the Pleiadians, in particular Samjazi. Now, in moving on to the main topic for tonight's focus, I'd like to start off by giving some background as to what I view as the start of the whole ascension process. And and I think you'll find this connection quite interesting, because the call went out for extraterrestrials to come to Earth to assist in this ascension process. And those with experience in other worlds were allowed to come here. And they also wanted to help humans embrace the star people that have come to help so that we're not afraid of them. Some extraterrestrials came here and incarnated here to link up with others in their star family. And since about World War II, there was a new generation of people are here to serve and shine light, and they've been coming here to our planet. And it started with the generation that grew up as teenagers in the 1960s with Flower Power and the Summer of Love. These hippies of the 1960s ultimately grew into the light workers who helped usher in a new generation of alternative medicine, healing, and psychic phenomena. Generation Xers were the next to arrive, and many of that generation are known as the Indigo children. Many are now adults. Indigo children were named because of the energy and indigo color that many people detect around their aura. Indigo children have a life purpose that relates to system busting and correcting injustice. And they're also very connected to peace and animals and to Mother Earth. And they have built-in lie detectors that alarm them when someone lacks integrity, including their parents. And indigos came here with an attitude that refutes authority for authority's sake. And they are more sensitive, more psychic, and spiritually gifted in many ways from previous generations. Indigos perform miraculously better when they are healthy, active, eat nutritious foods without additives and chemicals, and avoid toxins of all forms. And then, around the mid-1990s, another new generation of children began to arrive. different than the indigo children, and these were called the crystal children, and they're remarkably telepathic, and they can often hear and know the thoughts of others without using words. They are ultra-sensitive and use their discernment to avoid anything or anyone who does not serve them. They are very clairvoyant. They are very attracted to the earth, to nature, rocks, crystals, plants, and animals. And they express definitely a curiosity and an authenticity, and they are attracted to music. And they are often very late talkers, not needing to talk until school age because they have been able to effectively get by with the use of telepathy and rudimentary sounds that their parents have come to understand. And next we come across is the rainbow children. And they're like tiny little gurus. They're born into the world without any need to balance karma or learn lessons. And they came to the planet to help all of us understand our lessons. Rainbow children understand and know that the power of the divine transcends all fear-based behaviors and decision-making influences. They are fearless, and they understand that anybody acting out of fear is simply misguided and has forgotten their unbreakable connection to the divine. And I think this kind of paved the way for what's known as the diamond children. And I might add that all these names that were given to these different generations of children, these are extraterrestrial kids that are coming to be born on this planet. And in particular, the crystal children, they became aware of their galactic origins, and many of them were Pleiadians and Arcturians and Andromedans and Arcturian and Sirian. And the original indigos had a lot of angelic families that made them up. And the diamond children, we're now familiar with the term indigo child, crystal child, and rainbow child, but not many have heard the term diamond child or diamond children. As I understand it, they came from the eighth dimension. And unlike their predecessors, a diamond child is not here to change things. A diamond child will rarely bring attention to him or herself and will often move through life undetected. So why are they here? Well, let's look at where the name comes from. A diamond is a great conductor of light and energy. And unlike crystal, which is similar but extremely delicate and can shatter easily, diamond is one of the hardest and difficult to destroy material of all the rocks and minerals on the earth. Yet, in the dark, it is invisible. Diamond children are the same. While in the dark, they are as invisible as anyone else on Earth. But once they start conducting or channeling light and energy, you'll never meet a brighter, pure light on Earth. Diamond children will often be A-plus students. They will be talented in any subject or task or hobby that they care to pursue, and thus will often end up doing nothing of consequence because their energy is spread too thinly among too many subjects. And they are avid learners, which they do out of interest and not to take sides or be knowledgeable. Diamond children know they're right about 99% of the time or about just about everything. And often this will transpose to others as arrogance because they don't even try to argue their side. They will just nod and smile at you and your argument, and then when you least expect it, will slowly teach you an opposite viewpoint. If you are wondering where they come from, the answer is from everywhere and anywhere. They don't identify with one particular planet. reality or a universe, they come directly from oneness. If you suspect your child to be a diamond child, the best you can do for them or her is to kind of guide them to focus on one or two things. So it's kind of an advice for those that may have diamond children. Now, there's another category of kids. It's called the golden children, and they've been coming to the planet just in the last few years. And they are a follow-on generation to the rainbow and diamond children. Golden children are similar to the rainbow children in that they are very highly developed intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually. They add an element of great joy to the equation. Imagine rainbow light, which when added all up, sums up to white light, and then adding the element of unbounded joy to white light, giving the white light a golden glow. This is the essence and nature of golden children. They take the miraculously aware and wise nature of the rainbow child and focus it on our highest vibration of joy. And golden children have a beaming aura, a glow in their eyes, and a presence that can make you feel like you're meeting God. The golden glow emanates from their heart center. The rainbow children have a simple and straightforward life purpose. They are here to help us ascend as a collective vibration of love on our planet. The diamond children are here to heal and purge the collective attachment to victim consciousness on Earth. And the golden children are here to take our planet to an even higher level of joy. So the point I guess I'm trying to make is that ever since the end of World War II, there have been different waves of generations and extraterrestrial kids being incarnated on this planet, all in a way helping us to learn certain lessons as we move towards this ascension process. And another factor in the whole ascension process is the idea of the Mandela Effect. And if you haven't touched upon this, or you haven't heard about it, or if you have never explored it, I highly recommend that you do, because the main, even though it's very, almost nobody understands what the Mandela Effect really is. The reason it's called the Mandela Effect is because if you're from the old timeline, Nelson Mandela died in prison. But if you're from this timeline, he didn't die in prison, and I forget when he lived on to, but about 20 or 25 years later. And people can't reconcile these two different memories. And there's also, if you go on the web, you'll see that there's tons of other idiosyncrasies, like the line from Star Wars, Luke, I am your father, the line from Forrest Gump stating that life is like a box of chocolates. There are many things, the Berenstein and the Berenstain Bears. There's lots of these little trivial comparisons that are shown, and people are adamant that they remember as kids that it was this way, but in this timeline, it's not, and there's no history of it ever being that way. And so there's this paradox of, and a lot of people think that it's just a matter of people are misremembering what they heard or what they experienced. And it's not about that at all. There's been a merging of two timelines, with this timeline being the dominant one. But there are still remnants of the old timeline that are still here. And So if you're one of those people that you're from this timeline, there's really nothing for you to, you know, to remember. The only thing you can, maybe you could do is have some compassion for those that remember a different experience. And it's definitely not anything that I hear anybody talking about, because really nobody understands it. The only place I know that they understand it is Brad Johnson. He channels a Syrian called Adronis. That's A-D-R-O-N-I-S. And Adronis he's got a video, and it's called the Mandela Effect. And you can check that out on YouTube. And this is the only place I know of that's got a right handle on this. And and if you want to try and figure out whether you're from the old timeline, I can give you a couple of places to look. Number one is go look at a map of the Earth or a globe and take a look at South America. Because in the old timeline, South America is about 1,900 miles west of where it is in this timeline. And another, and there's actually some guys on the internet that have found maps that actually show this. You have to do some really, really deep research to find that. And another one is back in the day, there's a guy named Carl Sagan used to talk to the old timeline group, and he has on YouTube, it's called Our Place in the Universe. And if you go to his description of where the Earth is in the Milky Way galaxy, he tells you that it's on the edge of the Milky Way galaxy. And in the old timeline, that's where Earth was located. But guess what? In this timeline, Earth is not on the edge of the Milky Way galaxy. It's about 100 million light years from there. It's about halfway from the middle to the edge on the Sagittarius arm. And if you look up, these facts don't make any sense. It can't be both. So there's the paradox, and the answer is that it's two timelines that have been merged, and there is some evidence of the old timeline here. And the interesting thing about that is the question that it definitely raises is that some people's consciousness were shifted from the old timeline to this one. And part of that reason was because, in my opinion, that the old timeline ended in December 21st of 2012 in the old timeline. But peoples that were shifted had their, basically their, I guess, those with a little more knowing didn't want certain of those people that are going through the ascension process to experience the catastrophic events that took place. And thus we're spared that. And in a sense, if you think about it, the Mandela Effect is an amalgamation. It's a gathering together of timelines and a shedding of those that aren't needed. And then what's going to happen next is there'll be a splitting of the timelines. And when that split's going to take place, I don't know, but I do know there'll be a splitting. And the 5D Earth already exists. There's going to be a 3D Earth and a 5D Earth. It would be much like the concept of cellular, when a cell splits into two cells, something along those lines. And there'll definitely be a split. The higher timeline to the 5D will be based on freedom, and the other timeline leads to transhumanism and a tyranny. So that's going to be the split. And the whole ascension process is, and the reason I think that it's there's such an interest in this from the extraterrestrial point of view is because this is the first time that we're actually going to have people ascending to higher dimension. The Earth has population has come to this point apparently about six times, and each time we've destroyed ourselves. But this time there's going to be a population that does ascend to 5D. And even the powers of the regression, regressives as I call it, those connected to either Alpha Draconian or the AI program that's taking over control of humanity through electronic means, even their consciousness admits that there is no stopping a certain percentage of people from making the ascension. However, they are doing their very best to mess things up for as many people as possible. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of these young kids that were coming from higher dimensional planets, extraterrestrials incarnating on the Earth, you saw the vaccines that are messing up a lot of these kids with autism, etc. It's not by accident, it's on purpose. And even the COVID situation, part of the agenda here is to create more of a frequency of fear around the planet, because fear is the lower vibration, and you really need to be in higher vibration to make the ascension. And so what I want to talk about tonight is I want to get people to check out Solara on Ra. That's S-O-L-A-R-A, Solara on A-N-R-A. And she has some really good videos. She's channels Pleiadian information. And one that I would hope that you check out would be the Lion's Gate portal activation. And the Lion's Gate portal is very important because it's a new portal that was opened up in August of this year, 2020. And also at her site, or among her videos, there's an urgent message that came out, I think it was last week, and there's going to be a series of messages coming. And the gist of the message basically is that, a lot of people have spent thousands of years progressing and moving towards this ascension process, and this is not the time to be messing up and getting hung up into lower frequencies. You want to start spending the majority of your time not caught up even in finding out what's going on if you're confused. A short way to do this is go back and look at some of the ET Yoga shows over the last three or four shows, because I've given you pretty much the basics of what's going on the planet. But even that's not so important. What's really important is to get focused on attracting the energies coming from this Lion's Gate portal, because this is fifth dimensional energy. And it's the fifth dimensional energy that you want to connect with and be meditating on, and where you want to place your focus if you're intending to ascend to 5D. And another interesting technique that you can do is to be involved with Andara crystals. That's A-N-D-A-R-A. Andara crystals come from monatomic fields. And if you don't know about monatomics, I suggest you look up that subject, because they're high-spin electrons. They actually fluctuate from one dimension to another. And they are connected with the concept of your chi, or the philosopher's stone, or it was called Mufkets in Egypt. It was called the mana back in 2,000 years ago. It's exotic matter, white powder gold that's found in the tombs of the pharaohs when they find them in pyramids. And by the way, this white powder gold was also found in the Buzej find over in Romania. So monatomics are very, very interesting topic. In fact, the Anunnaki found over generations that they were losing their longevity, and that's why they were so interested in gold, because when you melt gold down, you get the white powder of gold, and this has a connection to longevity, and it was a secret that they wanted to keep from humanity. In fact, they even helped manipulate our DNA so that we didn't have long lifespans, that they lived for thousands of years. And so it's a lot harder for humans to get a handle on what's going on if you're only here for 70 or 100 years. So the white powder of gold, very important. Andara crystals resonate with 5D energy. And many of us living on the Earth at this time did have incarnations in Atlantis. And Atlantis was actually powered by, I believe, 12 of these huge Andara crystals. And they are very powerful. They actually ran all the energy in Atlantis. And they're very into crystal technologies, healing devices, among other things. But the main thing is the frequency and vibration of Andara crystals will assist you. So a very simple thing to do, doesn't even take any time, is to put one under your pillow so it's inside your auric field. And it's also a very high consciousness. So I highly recommend that. Also, in terms of raising frequency, the easiest way that I know of to raise your frequency is to do a simple meditation technique. It's called Pillar of Light. It's taught by the Pleiadians. And what I do when I'm doing this particular technique, I try to send a silver-blue cord from my base chakra down to the center of the earth and ground myself there first. So it's just a grounding technique. And then the idea is you sit very comfortably and with eyes closed and eyeballs kind of towards the center, towards your third eye, and intend and ask for a pillar of light to come down through your 12 chakra system. And if you intend that and focus on that, and I would say give it a couple of minutes, you're going to start to feel the energy. And the more you focus and the more time you do this, the more energy you're going to feel. And it's basically drawing light down through your 12 chakra system, because even though we're only taught that we have 7 chakras, the truth is we have 5 chakras outside the body that are out of phase with this dimension. But the higher you evolve toward 5D, these will also become activated. We have 12-stranded DNA and 12 chakra system. So when we get into 5D, we're going to have all this activated. And it's going to be the blueprint that humans were intended to have. The Anunnaki, actually a group from the Orion helped manipulate our DNA a long time ago to keep us in 2-stranded DNA, and thus why we haven't been utilizing the full capacity of our brains. So the bottom line here is that this is a very interesting way to draw light, and it's all about light quotient, and definitely there's some other interesting ways that you can use this technique. For example, you can also call in the pillar of light and bring the light down through the 12th, 11th, 10th, 9th, 8th, 7th, 6th, 5th, 4th. And when you get down into your heart chakra, you can then send the energy out into your auric field or your light body. So this is another technique to activate your light body. And you can also do a reverse process and start from the core of the earth where you're grounded and follow the energy up from the center of the earth all the way up and through from your first chakra all the way up through your 12th chakra and then out into through our sun and then into the central sun, Halcyon, and take that energy all the way out to Prime Creator. So you can go that way as well, or take the energy from after you go through your 12th chakra, through our sun, and out through the Lion's Gate portal, which will also connect you to that fifth dimensional energy. Another thing that we'd like, in terms of techniques, in terms of dumping emotional baggage, is to definitely take 100% responsibility for being a co-creator of what you experience. And in doing so, you can free yourself up from a lot of old baggage that you might have from either childhood or, you know, people in your past that have done things to you that you still harbor a grudge against. You want to eliminate all this kind of stuff. You want to neutralize that type of energy because it's a frequency that's incompatible with 5D energy. So doing your homework there, you should be aware of the fact that it's your thoughts, your emotions, your intentions, your definitions that create the outer world that you experience. And once you understand that, you know there's really nobody to blame. In fact, you're not to blame either. It's just that you're responsible for what you're creating. And you want to dump that baggage. And the other thing that's definitely high on the priority list is to not be in fear about anything. Fear is a very low vibration and definitely incompatible with moving towards a fifth dimensional existence. So these are like ideas and concepts that I want to share with the ET Yoga listening audience. And as well, I'm sure that there may be some very interesting celestial occurrences as well. One of those may be a solar flash. And when this may be, I don't know, but I do know that according to the Mayan calendar, which loses, which it was a 13-month calendar, which was changed by Pope Gregory, I don't know, 289 years ago or something like that. Anyway, you lose about 11 days a year, and over that course of time, it's about exactly eight years difference. So December 21st of 2020 is actually 2012 in the Mayan calendar. So who knows? There might be some interesting events taking place yet towards the end of the year, but definitely there's going to be more and more positive energy coming from positive ETs and the Lionsgate portal, and that would be the key. There's the path to the fifth dimension. And I'd like to, at this time, give my listeners my best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, abundance, and progress in the ascension path. And at this time, I'd like to share with you the Who Am I technique, which is also a very powerful technique, where that was actually taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi, and it was called the Vichara, V-I-C-H-A-R-A, and it was taught to his advanced disciples. And I came across this technique actually from Baba Ram Das. And if you don't know about Baba Ram Das, he was a Harvard professor who went to India, found a legitimate guru, and after his teachings, after his learning in India, came back and started really telling the truth at Harvard. He ended up getting fired from there. But he's very famous in North America. One of his more famous books is called Be Here Now, Now Be Here. It was a very popular book back in the 1960s. And still very relevant, and so is the information in there. But at any rate, this technique is one where you focus your entire attention in the center of your forehead and become that spot. My suggestion would be is to get to the highest place you know how to get to first and then do the technique. So you might do pranayams, you might do asanas, a meditation or something, but you want to get to a very focused state, a very highest state you can get to. Become the spot in the center of your forehead and ask the question, who am I? And you can do that one time or several or try to get a feel for it. But the main thing is the focus and the attention and becoming that spot. And then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.